It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to...
Jay and Matt in the Morning.
Starring...
Matt George.
Jay Mars. And your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's...
Jay and Matt in the Morning. Only one more show. Oh darn, let's make the most of it.
Hello. I like new voice, lady.
She's good at her job.
She has a really good cadence. I think she was born with that or had to develop that. Nothing?
No, I'm good. It's okay. Just really quiet for some reason.
Well, your headphones not working again?
No, it's like dully quiet. I think it has something to do with my jack here.
Okay. So
we're good. I can hear you.
Literally, as the intro is playing, a predicament just happened. I want your thoughts.
Uh-oh.
So I'm in the YouTube chat right now, but not as me. Someone didn't sign out yesterday. I'm in the YouTube chat as Jason Ross. Do I sign out or do I comment all show as Jason Ross?
Oh, God, no. You ride that Jason Ross value to the moon.
Jason, what are you trying to say about me? What's wrong with my screen name?
I mean...
Wow.
Come on. That's like
it's
saying...
It's our last show together until, Dave's next vacation in a week.
We're talking about J. Ross social status. We all dream of achieving such a thing.
I get it.
Saying really mean things as Jason Ross.
Immediately people will know I've hacked him.
No.
Like...
Jason could just be having a bad morning.
Jason... Someone could get in that YouTube chat and say really mean things to him, like really, really mean things, and he's just going to reply back, I'm sad you feel that way. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Yeah, that's just
like
what makes Jason
is that guy.
Yeah.
He's Ted Lasso. Not as upbeat as Ted Lasso, but a lot of Ted Lasso vibes. Like Jason Ross is always in a good mood. Ted Lasso's always in a good mood.
I still think you should do it.
What should I type?
Something mean. Something grumpy. Something grouchy. There you go.
Bam.
There you go. Spot on.
Let's see what the replies are. Let's see if anyone knows it's me.
Yeah. You know they're watching the show, though, right? There's audio
Doesn't
involved.
Mean that, okay, here's the thing. I know they watch the show, but what I have learned with the chat is they clearly don't listen to the content
that's a good
of the
point.
Show because whatever is chatting is never what we're talking
that's
about.
That's a good point. That's fair.
Jay Mars, Matt George sitting in one final day for Carmichael Dave. He will be back tomorrow, and then I think he has another vacation the next week. So we'll be back here shortly at some point, I'm sure.
Does he really?
No, I'm just being facetious.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
That's the thing. I knew I could throw that out there, and I knew even though you work here and kind of understand scheduling, you would still have to question
it. I like immediately panicked and went to find my phone to check my schedule to see if I had another commitment to be back in here with you. Not that I don't want to be.
Right.
It just wouldn't surprise me.
I
can't wait to work with you again.
Are you just trying to mimic the voice lady now? Or
No. I can't do that.
Oh, you could. I mean, that was actually not bad. You get a little more of a, softer tone in you. You got it right there. Anyways, it's our final show till whenever Dave takes another vacation. Then we'll be back here. And Dave gets like 16 weeks of vacation or something like that? Here's the Jim Rome vacation schedule.
Yeah, 16 weeks every quarter?
Yeah, 16 weeks a quarter he gets vacation. Listen, we could hate on it all day. I wish I had that deal. I really do, because if someone offered me 16 weeks of vacation every quarter, I would take it.
Come on, guys, get off me. Get off me. I don't take that much vacation. I barely tweet. Let me
listen,
do what I want.
I take vacation because they give me vacation.
And I need it. Like, I work hard. Come on, guy. Get off me. All right. Let me live my life.
The Dave vacation gimmick's one of my favorite gimmicks.
Oh, and it's building wide. That's the best part of the gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just bitter you and I who don't get that vacation time.
Oh, it's
time
not even bitter to me. Listen, I've already told Jason, I'm taking vacation next month. Just be prepared for it.
But it's the entire building.
Yeah.
Is Dave on vacation again? Yep. Okay.
It's fun.
There's only one person in this building who I think rivals Dave in terms of vacation, and I'm not at liberty to say who
Yeah,
it is.
No, don't do that. Let's leave that one alone. And dare I say, that person vacations well, though, by
the
way.
Yeah, they do.
They vacation
they
very
do.
Well.
It's not just an Airbnb in Oregon.
No. And nothing wrong with the Airbnb in Oregon. I mean, I just did Airbnb in San Diego for 2 days, and let me tell you something, man.
That's a big difference from Oregon.
It is a huge difference, but they're both near the ocean. So I got that.
One is a legit ocean.
Wow, are you saying coastal Oregon is not legit ocean?
It's boring, cold, lame ocean versus San Diego is like
cold
ocean.
Have you not watched The Goonies? Oh, you haven't watched
The Goonies. I've watched The Goonies.
You're like 10. You've seen The Goonies.
I have seen The Goonies.
So that didn't look cool to you where they were staying? It was beautiful.
Okay.
Overcast?
Pretty, yes. But when I think beach and ocean, I think like tropical. I think Hawaii. I think...
Where?
Hawaii. That's how they pronounce... That's the correct pronunciation of Hawaii as Hawaii.
Go on.
Hawaii. So everybody Hawaii. Knows out there, say Hawaii. That is how it is correctly pronounced. And then they have their other the other names for the islands that I'm not even going to try because it's they're really complicated and beautiful to listen to.
Oahu? That's not that hard.
No.
Kauai? Like, not that hard.
Those are the our names. There are other names for those islands that...
What's the other name for Oahu? I'm interested.
I have no idea. And they're also very, very difficult to say, but they're beautiful to say. Anyway, or beautiful to listen to.
I was not expecting this conversation to take this turn this morning.
I learned a lot. I've been to Hawaii
twice. Yeah, say it right.
I've been to Hawaii twice, and both times I learned so much about their culture and their language, and it's gorgeous, and I can't wait to go back. But that being said, I think of tropical beaches.
Not that hard.
It's Americanized to Hawaii.
Oh, it's better than my girl says Hawaii.
Hawaii.
I'm like,
oh.
And she swears she's saying it right. She does two states. Hawaii.
She'll get flipped off if she goes to Hawaii and calls it like, Hawaii.
I looked up like Hawaii. She's like, yeah, Hawaii. I'm like, what's Hawaii? And she's like, you know, Hawaii. I'm like, you mean Hawaii? And then she does Utah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm like, where? Utah. I'm like, it's Utah. No, it's Utah. And she swears I'm the one that's wrong. I'm like, okay, I just pronounce it like every other
human
being alive.
Well, I mean, you are a man and she is a woman, so
right.
You are wrong.
Naturally. But on that particular state, I think I got her beat. I'm pretty sure it's Utah.
Mm.
Not Utah.
So
Utah? Who goes to Utah?
I am preparing myself mentally to come home today to a absolutely horrible environment because my poor 8-month pregnant wife didn't sleep.
Oh boy.
A lick last night.
Oh boy. Do you have your body armor packed?
I'm buying a shield. Does Target sell shields?
Yeah, they got the Captain America ones.
I'm gonna stop and buy a shield because things are gonna be coming my way. Poor thing, she just couldn't sleep because of back pains and stuff like that.
I hear being pregnant does that.
I woke up at like 3:30 in the morning and she was watching Netflix in the living room and I felt so bad. So any guys who have been through that, send me your tips and your help.
Again, shield, body armor. Every answer out of your mouth when she asks you something should be yes.
Oh, yeah. We're already there.
There is no saying no today, sir.
We're already there. I'm going to pick up chocolate on the way home.
Oh, that's a good idea. Get chocolate. Is she like flowers?
Kinda. Like, yeah, but she likes to pick them out herself.
Okay, then avoid that. Chocolate always works, especially pregnant. Does she have a certain pregnancy craving that you could fill?
So it's changed a little bit. At first, for the majority of the pregnancy, it was root beer.
I love root beer.
I do too. She was like obsessed with root beer, although very specific brands, which are not sponsored, so I will not say. And then it turned into chicken nuggets from one of our fast food establishments, also not sponsored, so I will not say. And now...
Again, root beer and chicken nuggets, this... Sounds normal to me.
And then chocolate is just an underlying.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it normal for guys to get pregnancy cravings? Because I've had more ice cream and wanted more ice cream during her pregnancy than ever in my life.
I don't think it's necessarily like normal for guys to get quote unquote pregnancy cravings. I just think we naturally have pregnancy cravings the way we operate.
See, I'm not really that much of an ice cream or dessert guy, but I want ice cream every night, always. Now,
what flavor?
I mean, it depends. Like, classic vanilla with stuff in it is great. I'm a big fan of cookie dough, big fan of cookies and cream. One of my favorite ice creams of all time is mint chip.
I love mint chip. Mint chip, very underrated and actually not really appreciated by the masses.
I don't really have a favorite ice cream. I just have ones that I don't like.
You just kind of go through a cycle of what's like, all right, this is here, cool. This is here, cool.
Like, coffee-flavored ice cream, not good.
Pecan
ice cream, not good.
Pistachio?
Not good.
Sherbet.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Certain sherbets are good. Butterscotch, not good.
I love
And enough with, like, I don't want, when I eat ice cream, I don't want to be punched in the face by chocolate. So like this rocky road with Oreos in it with chocolate syrup mixed into a like brown cow, like, no, I don't want chocolate, that much chocolate. Like,
okay.
Chill out.
There you go. So again, back to where, so chocolate, get her, bring her home a, like a nice root beer. Get her, you know what, stop it. I'll give you the grocery store, because if we're not saying non-advertisers, then I will participate in that as well.
Stop at grocery store A.
Grocery store A, where they have like these super classy root beers that are just amazing with a little bit of butterscotch in them. Just trust me on it. It works every time. And then get her like a spread of chicken nuggets. Like, don't just get them from one spot. Like, go full out. Go to a few spots and just like present a platter of nugget and classy root beer.
Her craving is very restaurant specific.
Okay.
So
I'm going to need to know the restaurant, because if there's a possible, depending on the restaurant, there's ways to replicate it with different ones.
There may or may not be a really large yellow M.
All right.
That looks like French fries.
So Maxwell's. I don't know if you can replicate Maxwell's chicken nuggets.
I've never heard of Maxwell's.
Just kind of one of a kind. The yellow M, that's Maxwell's.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Those, because those particular chicken nuggets, have you ever tried to make them?
No.
Okay. Well, sometimes I get bored and I try to make fast food chicken nuggets at home. Why do I tell you that?
Why not just buy Dino Nuggets from the store? Yes, Dino Nuggets are still cool even when you're an adult.
That's great, but nothing beats like homemade, actually trying to replicate chicken nuggets or chicken sandwiches. It's just much better. What makes those ones unique is their battering. Do you know what their battering is?
No idea.
It's tempura batter.
Okay.
So, if you can actually make these at home, this is what you should try. You should try to make her these nuggets.
Absolutely not.
Why?
Because I'm going to make the house hot and she's going to get mad at me because the oven's on.
Okay, she's going to get mad at you regardless.
Yeah, but at least she'll be mad and cool, not mad and hot.
Listen, but the whole idea is you get the house hot. We get it. Like, you're going to get in trouble regardless. But the finished product will save you.
We've already been having air conditioning issues. And when it's over 78 degrees in our house, which is hot, it's like I'm hiding in a closet.
Well, if you're having AC issues with your wife being 8 months pregnant and it's in the 90s in Sacramento, okay, you win. Don't try anything. Just stop and get the nuggets in the root beer.
Dig a hole in the backyard and
stop and get
it.
The nuggets in the root beer. Sweet and sour sauce or barbecue sauce?
She loves barbecue.
Yeah, that's not a good answer. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
Well, we're trying to keep the show as authentic to its, you know, normal self as possible.
Just getting you ready for Dave again.
That's all we're doing. Leading off, coming up next, Pete Alonso hit a lot of home runs yesterday. The All-Star game is tonight, and Team USA lost again.
They suck.
We'll do it all next.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal. In the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com.
Here's cut number one.
Is he going to hit the scoreboard? He's one away from tying. He just won it. Pete Alonso, home run derby champ again.
And he had 31 seconds left on the clock.
That was a pretty spectacular performance, I got to tell you.
Let me tell you something, buddy. Let me tell you something, brother.
Cespedes did it first. Pete.
We're going to be that guy?
Yeah.
We're going to be that guy.
Pete, get in line. Cespedes first. Pete Alonso, second.
Pete Alonso going back-to-back, an interesting back-to-back, 2019-2021 back-to-back.
That's actually a little more impressive.
Yeah, he had a little gap year there with the pandemic.
He would have won it that year, too, let's be honest.
Mets second baseman Pete Alonso, who hits the baseball very far, did that last night with relative ease.
As a second baseman, too. Like,
yeah.
You don't see many mashers from second base.
No, and it was just... It was the way he did it. Like, he never once felt any pressure. You could tell he's loose all three rounds. He's playing to the crowd. And in that last little 30-second burst in the final round, it felt like every single time he swung the bat, the ball went out.
Yeah, I don't I'm not saying that the rest of the home run hitters don't swing hard and swing out of their shoes, but Pete Alonso swings like Bryson DeChambeau, where his goal is to demolish the baseball, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, and I love how hard he swings. I love the aggressiveness, the passion that he showed. And it was actually really fun. The one thing that's fun about this this home run derby format, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more with the time, Jay, is the fact that you watch the fatigue really set in towards the end when I guess like the commentators were talking about watch their back foot. Like the back foot is pretty solid throughout, and then you get to the final 30 seconds and that thing's like zing.
You have guys lunging at the ball. You're doing everything you're taught not to do when you're 8 years old as a kid. Lunge at the ball, back foot, stay still. Nah.
Golf swing, get it out. Just get it out.
Let's just hammer these balls out. Hello.
That wall in like right center sucks. That super tall wall in front of the bullpen that's just unnecessarily tall. What a terrible wall.
Yeah, but you know, as we're watching this last night, I'm like, I know the All-Star Game is in a different city every year, but the Home Run Derby should always be at Coors Field.
Yeah, absolutely.
It should always be at Coors Field.
Those triple deck bombs.
Pete Alonso, your champion last night.
Congrats, Pete.
Your hero, Matt Olson. Matt Olson hitting the...
Matt Olson was robbed by, like, 97 foul balls.
Yeah.
But I knew it was going to happen because all of his dingers he pulls. He's a pull hitter. And Shohei Ohtani was trying to pull the ball way too much, which I know we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. But Matt Olson should have advanced, or if nothing else, tied. His last one was way gone, but way foul. He had, I think, like 3 or 4 of them where he murdered them, but they were way foul.
But why is Matt Olson the hero, you ask?
Why is he the hero?
I think it was the DraftKings sign that if you hit the sign, and it was out there in right center, it says, hit us, and they're going to send two people to the World Series. Matt Olson hit that sign.
I actually didn't know that.
Yes, so Matt Olson will be sending, essentially via DraftKings, two people to the World Series this year. We're going.
We're going.
I entered us in.
There we go.
I'm a big DraftKings guy. You know, I have my DraftKings sponsorship that never makes the air because I don't actually have it. But yeah, no, so I will enter us in, and Matt Olson sent me and you to the World Series last night. I thought that was really cool.
Matt's help, Matt's out. That's just all Matt stick together. But yep. We'll take in a J every now and then.
There's Matt and Matt crime, but then there's just Matt and Matt love, and that's what you guys have. Cut number two.
Leading off, cut number two.
It's an incredible feeling, you know, to be named to the Ace All-Star Game and now my fourth time to start it. It's an incredible honor. When you step in the room with a room full of All-Stars and you get the ball, that's a special feeling. It's really hard to put into words. So for Dave to select me again, to give that honor to me with the quality of arms that are in the National League this year, I'm very blessed and very thankful for that opportunity.
That is Washington Nationals starting pitcher and NL All-Star starting pitcher Max Scherzer. Tonight, the All-Star Game, Scherzer versus Ohtani, inning one.
Well, I mean, we'll get at least 6 outs, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. We get 6 outs between the two of them. Ohtani's not going any more than an inning, right?
I wonder if a reliever is going to hit a massive, was it a grand slam or 3-run shot off of Scherzer last time he pitched?
God, I want to say it was a grand slam.
Regardless, a reliever.
I want to say it was only the fourth guy to hit it off of Scherzer, and you're right. It was the reliever for, was it the Padres?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know the guy's name. I just remember a reliever hit it.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. Off of Scherzer, that's the one thing that stuck in my mind. Yeah, Scherzer deserves the start. It's going to be an awesome matchup between the two. I have more interest in the home run derby last night than I do in the actual game tonight, although I will be watching for Shohei, of course.
It's like the NBA All-Star game, right? You're much more interested in All-Star Saturday night than you are the actual game.
And that's the thing is, I mean, Scherzer brought up in there in the clip talking about like interacting with just different All-Stars, and that's one of my favorite things about the home run derby. And in All-Stars in any sport is to see these athletes interact. Love the home run derby, the fact that all these guys, like, it hurt my heart, but to see Matt Olson and Marcus Semien spending so much time together on the side just was really cool to see. So seeing those athletes interact in that way is really cool and really good for baseball.
What do you think Semien's telling Olson in those moments?
y'all should have paid me because we would be the leader of the AL West.
Tell your
boys to pay you and don't do to you what
right.
they did to me.
I think it's along the lines of, y'all should have paid me. To your point, we would be dominating. And oh, by the way, they're not going to pay you.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout. Here's the moving company you're going to want to use.
What do you think about, how do you feel about Toronto? We could use a first baseman that mashes.
Listen, Matt Olson in Canada would be something, right? Although they have a first baseman that mashes, so I think they're good there.
Oh, yeah, they have freaking Vlad. Oh, my God.
He's pretty good. I think they're set at first base for the next
15 seasons. Of all the
teams
for me to forget who their first baseman was. Yeah, I think they're in pretty good shape. He could DH.
He could.
Well, actually.
Why would you want to DH a Gold Glover, though?
I was going to say, Vlad should DH. Probably.
I just don't think Olson will end up in Toronto. I think we should settle
on
that.
If Marcus Semien is there, Olson
Matt
will find
Olson,
a way.
Dude, Brandon Belt's a free agent, you know, at the end of the season.
Oh,
Matt
my God.
Olson
if Matt Olson,
to the Giants.
If he ends up in San Francisco, I will break something. I will actually break something.
Well, let's hold off on all the breaking stuff because we still have one more cut to get to. Cut number three.
Leading off, cut number three.
Looking for Lillard. Durant a three. Too strong. And Dellavedova with a great punch out to Ingles for the exclamation point. Australia up by eight with 3 seconds left. And it's two straight losses for Team USA in Las Vegas. 91-83, Boomers.
Boomers.
The 27 people that were there weren't happy.
No, they were not happy. But I'll tell you who was happy. That dominant Australia team. You heard some names in there. Joe Ingles, Matthew Dellavedova.
Jingles, Deli. Man, I mean, that's what's fun, though, is to see the amount of NBA talent that has worked its way onto other international teams. And there was a audio quote that came out, or a clip that came out of Greg Popovich interacting with a reporter after the game.
And, got that coming up at Soundgarden, friend.
Excellent. I won't spoil too much, but I will say he talked about the disrespect that some of us show other teams and how they're not just blowout walk in the parks. That being said, Team USA, even though their exhibitions losing back-to-back exhibitions, that's not great.
No. Some would even call that bad, seeing that that's never happened, you know, since pro players have played since 1992.
That's pretty, like, I'm still, like, the Team USA is, this is the time to get right. Team USA is still the team to beat, so this is the time to work out the kinks and figure things out. But if people don't think that this 72-game season that we're still in didn't have an effect on these guys, this is the perfect example. Like, if under normal circumstances, Team USA is playing a million times better than they are right now.
Yeah, for sure.
But they look fatigued. If you watch them play,
they look fatigued. They just came off of a regular season. They have no rest. You're going to have three guys joining after the NBA Finals. Who knows how useful they're going to be?
Also, I'm just saying, the officiating in the NBA is a lot different from the officiating in the World Cup.
Yeah, both equally bad, but to your point, very different.
We see a lot of American players trying to put up and ones that get called in the NBA and at the Olympic international level, they're like, get up.
You better, if you're going to go to the cup, you better go hard and not expect to get that foul call. Yep. Let me tell you. All right, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice. Coming up next,
the All-Star Game is featuring Shohei Ohtani. Team USA having some struggles. Stephen A. Smith had thoughts on all of it yesterday.
Oh,
and spoiler alert, some really bad takes coming up for you at 6:35, and then at 6:30, right after the break. We've got a British Open update. I'll come up next.
The Carmichael Dave Show. Thoughtful, smart, engaging. None of these terms apply here, but he will read your snarky hate text at 916-339-1140.
All right, give us about 5 minutes. We'll get to that Stephen A. Smith audio from yesterday. Both his take on Shohei Ohtani as the face of MLB and Team USA basketball, both very cringeworthy. So again, that's coming up right around 6:35. In the meantime, our British Open coverage is brought to you by Naturewood, where it's all about choices and always about quality. Check them out over at Naturewood. Love Naturewood, man. Good quality stuff there. I've bought pieces for my own home there. So shout out to our friends from Naturewood sponsoring our British Open coverage. Already getting off to a bad foot, so to speak, in the British Open. Zach Johnson, who won the tournament in 2015, he has had to pull out because of COVID-19. That happened yesterday. And then also, this year's Masters winner, Hideki Matsuyama, he is pulling out as well because he is still recovering and does not feel prepared from his bout with COVID-19. So British Open already losing two big names.
Well, it's better, I suppose, for them to step out and step down than it is to pull a John Rahm and to get there and to try to or be in a position to actually win the whole dang thing, right, and then be forced to retire. So, I mean, it's significantly better than what it was, but COVID hasn't gone away. And
nope.
Especially with the start of the Olympics in Tokyo, I think we're going to start seeing a lot of more of these stories reemerge again.
Well, yeah, especially with the new Delta variant and all that stuff. Yeah, you're going to see these stories happen all the time.
But I very much have gotten used to not seeing these in a while, which is nice. So when we see them again, it's like, oh that's
yeah,
a bummer.
That's right. That's still a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. That sucks. So hopes for a speedy recovery from Zach Johnson. And then, yeah, Matsuyama, who also tested positive for COVID-19. I want to say that was like 3 weeks ago. One way or the other, felt was not prepared to go in. So that is your British Open update. Right now, though, Stephen A. Smith hopped on his old TV program yesterday. And I get it. The whole idea of the show is to have hot takes, right? Some of those hot takes just aren't very good.
I understand that baseball is an international sport itself in terms of participation. But when you talk about an audience gravitating to the tube or to the ballpark to actually watch you, okay, I don't think it helps that the number one face is a dude that needs an interpreter so you can understand what the hell he's saying in this country. And that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. So, on the surface, just really bad, right? I mean, we don't even have
literally to, horrible.
Just an awful take on the surface. But then when you actually really break it down and you see that it's like, all right, so you're basically saying the guy can't be the face of Major League Baseball because he needs an interpreter. Screw all the popularity stuff, right? Screw that this guy is the biggest freaking name and story in the sport for the last almost 100 years.
Forget that the game and the MLB is arguably more popular in Japan and outside of the United States right now as
right,
it is inside because of him.
And his whole point is, well, I mean, in America. Well, let's examine that from a number standpoint, shall we? This via TickPick, I thought this was amazing. With Shohei Ohtani a part of the Home Run Derby, TickPick details that they have sold 615% more tickets to the 2021 Derby in comparison to 2019. The get-in price last night, to like just to be there, $192.
And the poor guy was out in the first
and that's,
round.
Yeah.
Darn
but
it.
It's just like, oh my God, there is clearly evidence literally everywhere that this guy is the biggest deal in the sport.
Yeah.
And you don't think he could be the face because he uses an interpreter? Bro.
Shohei is a phenom. He's an absolute phenom, and he's doing things that we haven't seen in a century, in a way, like everybody combined. But even so, like there's elements of what Shohei Ohtani is and does in the modern era that, look, I wasn't around. I don't know Babe Ruth. I didn't watch Babe Ruth play, obviously. But in my mind, what Shohei is doing is almost more special. Now, Babe has legendary moments and is just a legend in terms of the game. But maybe that's where some people who might feel the same way that Stephen A. Smith does are threatened a little bit. Babe Ruth is this American hero, and you have this international icon coming to the MLB and literally changing the game with how he is playing. And I just, like, I don't understand.
But I don't even think Stephen A. thought on that level.
But that's the thing, is like, I don't know if maybe it was an impulse reaction. I don't know what the point he's trying to make is.
It's a hot take to get a reaction because that's what his entire brand is. I get it.
Shohei Ohtani is phenomenal for the game of baseball. He and I talked about this a little bit on Twitter, and we talked about this before the show started. Shohei Ohtani and Fernando Tatis Jr., these are two guys that everybody in the country and around the world, but especially in the country, should know who they are.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what language they speak, what ethnicity they are.
That doesn't matter.
None of that
They're
matters.
Stars.
They're superstars in a game that desperately needs them right now.
Right.
And then you talk about, like, look at professional soccer. International symbols in professional soccer that don't speak a lick of English or barely any English. Guys like Ronaldo, Messi, who are massive here in the United States, who have, I'm guessing.
Dude, I'm not even a soccer fan. I know who both of those guys
exactly.
are.
Exactly. So what's Stephen A. Smith's point? Like, I don't understand. I think it's a really stupid point. We don't need to go into the details of killing him for it because he knows what he did was wrong.
Well,
he's already apologized.
Apologized, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to sit here and roast you for it.
Oh,
for
absolutely.
You should be roasted.
The take needs to be roasted. Everything else he deserves scrutiny for, absolutely 100%. But I just want to talk about the take that makes no sense to me. Like, yes. Shohei Ohtani is exactly what baseball needs right now. Shohei Ohtani is a gift to baseball that if they screw up, they're never going to be
back. Which they're most likely going to do because that's just kind of baseball's MO at this point. You know, if you wanted to bring the take like, hey, he can't be the face of baseball because he plays for the Angels, that would actually be a better take. And it's still a bad one. That would actually have been a better take.
That would have been better. It honestly would have been better because it would have been a little, at least a little funny.
Oh, my gosh.
But like, Shohei Ohtani doesn't need to speak English or speak period to be the face of baseball. Watch how he pitches and swings the bat. That's all you need. That's literally all you need. His game does the talking, like the cliche says.
So, if you thought that one was bad, this one's not as bad, but it's still pretty bad. Stephen A. Smith still got loose yesterday. This is him talking about Team USA losing to Nigeria and Greg Popovich.
When you talk about bona fide stars in the National Basketball Association, we can pick at least 15 to 20 of them. Half of them are on this damn roster. There's no excuse to lose to Nigeria. Some dude, Gabe Namdi, who goes by Gabe Vincent for the Miami Heat, Caleb Agata, Namu, or however the hell you pronounce his name. You give up 60 points on threes? Excuse me. You can do better than that. And, oh, by the way, let's also look at Greg Popovich because he's a five-time champion. One of the elite coaches this game has ever seen. Hasn't looked the same since Tim Duncan retired. A little bit different now. So let's point to everything. And let's understand, still in all, you have enough to win gold. It should not require that roster spot 1 to 15 is the absolute best that the NBA and USA basketball can send. We have enough great players. They just got to care enough and be focused, and we got to know that we got the right coaching.
Okay.
We're questioning Greg Popovich's coaching now.
There's a lot to unpack in that little clip. First of all, like, kind of glossing over Team Nigeria, and I don't want to say making fun of their names because that wasn't what he was doing, but just kind of casually, like, I don't even need to know how to pronounce your names. You ain't nothing. It's just not a good look.
It's super condescending.
It's very condescending.
Super condescending.
Remember, they just won.
Yeah.
So, not a good idea for the team that won. You know, this isn't the Nigerian team that was blown out by 80-something points several years back. They just won. At least give them the dignity of pronouncing their names correctly. Or if you don't know how, just avoid it altogether.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't hard. Like, Stephen A. is a veteran. He should know.
But that's the thing is, though, I think Stephen A. can get away. He believes that he believes he can get away with this because of his Stephen A. personality. And
sure.
In a way, it's like if he were to mispronounce an American name like mine or something and say, who the hell is that? Like, it would be funny. Like, but in this case, he's doing so after completely undermining what this team has done when this team does feature NBA level talent. Hell, it features Chimezie Metu,
yes,
who actually had a great game the other night. Nigeria's 2-0, by the way.
Nigeria has NBA players on their roster.
Just so you know, so does Australia. So do most of these teams that we will see in the World Cup. In the Olympics.
It's a really bad take.
I get what Stephen A. is trying to say in a way. Like, a very little smidgen of that I understand, which is him saying, like, Team USA should not, with how talented they are, they should be winning these games. Not necessarily blowing out by 80, but they should be winning these games. We all expect that. So for him to vocalize that, it's what we're all thinking, right? So, like, but Team USA losing to Nigeria is not like the most unheard of, crazy, ridiculous thing like a NBA team losing to children.
Right.
And that's what Stephen A. Smith is making it out to be. And that's extremely disrespectful.
And now we're calling out Greg Popovich, arguably the greatest coach of the last 30 years.
When have we ever talked about coaching for Team USA? What does a Team USA coach do? Say you're going in and you're coming out. That's it.
Your entire argument is, oh, look at Greg Popovich when he doesn't have Tim Duncan. That's your argument that Popovich can't coach? Is he doesn't have Tim Duncan anymore?
Why does it matter for Team USA basketball? It's like an all-star game.
He has Kevin Durant.
You let them play. Like, literally, you drop like... It's ISO ball and pick and rolls, and you should beat every team in the league.
Who sees that roster and goes, yeah, Popovich, that's the problem.
Oh, my God. That's more of the Stephen A. Smith hot take that I expect.
Right.
Like, that'll talk about.
Popovich is the problem?
Like, that's a funny thing to me. That's like a classic Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, Skip Bayless, hey, Shannon first take crap.
Never mind that this roster is just completely thrown together and hasn't played or practiced together. It's Greg Popovich.
And they've basically played basketball for a full calendar year right. With a small gap in between the bubble and last season.
My argument that it's Greg Popovich's fault is because his record hasn't been the same since Tim Duncan retired. That's all you have for me.
So stupid.
Love it. We'll take a break.
The first time we've ever talked about coaching in
Greg
Olympics
Popovich.
Team USA level, and it's Greg Popovich's fault. Jeez.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
Oh, the fun continues. Last night's home run derby. Dare I say, one of the funnest I have ever watched. We'll recap that. And then at 6:55, we got yourself a pair of tickets to check out Black Widow at the IMAX. Stick around. That's all coming up next.
If you want a unique angle on a topic that no one in their right mind would think of, you're in the right place. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Hi, I'm Dave.
No, I'm Jay.
Hi, I'm Dave.
He's Matt. Dave's not here.
So wait, a unique angle, that's how we're spinning it?
That nobody cares about. See, that's the caveat there that really brings it home, is it's always a unique angle, it's just nobody usually cares.
I think calling it a unique angle is a bit of a overstatement.
But here's the thing with unique, it can go so many different ways. And so when you wrap it around the idea of it not mattering, it really does define this show and multiple ways.
Also, big ups using Little Dickie's I Am Dave and on a show where Dave makes it about him. I like it.
Can I tell you something?
That's Little Dickie's anthem, Dave. You don't get that. You're not the real Dave.
He hates that rejoiner.
Really? I love
Little
Dickie.
Hates it.
I love Little Dickie.
Do you watch his show, Dave?
I do.
Do you enjoy it?
I do.
So do I.
Little Dickie makes really good music and people don't understand.
That show is very weird and strange and at times uncomfortable, but
absolutely.
Overall pretty hilarious. So nice little plug for his FXX show. Dave drops Wednesdays.
The real Dave.
The real Dave. Yes, Dave Bird, not Dave Carmichael.
Which is his last name according to a lot of people.
Yeah, no, he just flipped them. It was crazy and just made it Carmichael Dave.
Actually, a lot of people think Carmichael is his first name. We get that a lot. A lot of people think Carmichael,
you know,
including people downstairs who have worked with him for a long time.
Oh, there's people here in sales and just, I'm not going to drag the sales staff.
Oh, I love them. They're great. They're awesome.
But to your point, yeah, no, there have been people that-
Like, hi, Carmichael, you have a new endorsement.
They've approached me like, hey, is Carmichael here? I'm like, who? You Carmichael Dave. I'm like, you just call him Dave.
No, we're
like,
in Sacramento. Carmichael's up the road.
Yeah, Carmichael's over there. But- Yeah, good times. Anyways, it was the home run derby last night featuring some of the biggest names in baseball. One of those guys, though, represents your Oakland A's.
10 seconds, needs two to tie. There's one, a line drive to right.
Get up!
There's one, stay fair. And he finishes one short.
Matt, you're an Oakland A's fan. Your boy is up in there. Hitting bombs.
He was mashing.
He was mashing, and it just hooked foul.
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. He's such a pull hitter, but when he gets through and barrels up, it's a rocket. He was the first one, I think, to hit the third deck. Now, he wasn't the only one by any means. A lot of people did, but he was the first one of the night to hit the third deck, and when he hit the third deck, it was like back of the third deck. It was still a great performance by Olsen. Started out a little rocky, then found a groove there. The one thing that made me anxious with actually having a rooting interest in the home run derby, and I know it's all about rhythm and making sure you're not wasting pitches and putting balls in the area that in the part of the zone that these batters want. I felt like the pitching was so slow for Olsen. I'm like, throw it! Especially at the end, like that last shot, there was 2 seconds left, but they all watched it because they thought it was gone, but they knew it was going to be close, so they all look over their shoulder. I'm like, throw one more. Who cares?
Yeah. Insurance pitch.
And they didn't, and they lost. But it was still fun. It was entertaining.
Yeah, Olsen had a great first round. Unfortunately, didn't make it out of there, though. But the matchup everyone was waiting for was Ohtani and Soto.
He's got to retool. 17 seconds. He needs two to tie.
Uh-oh.
Here's a line drive. Oh, and the pressure is on.
Oh, boom. 7 seconds.
Here's one out towards right center.
Gotta go.
Here's another out towards right center.
Get this off. Nope.
He's got 22.
That entire stadium was there for him. Like, let's be real. And no disrespect to Olsen or the rest of the field. Like, that entire stadium was there for Shohei.
Yep.
And the fact that he didn't make out of the first round is very disappointing. At least he went to the sudden death. But, man, the pops when he would finally go through. Because like, he got off to a terrible start.
Oh, no, he was awful. But once he got that rhythm, to your point, once he hit that rhythm, it was like, oh, boy, here's Shohei. I could have recalled yesterday, though, somebody on this program saying, you know what?
Sorry, what happened? Did your mic turn off? My bad.
You tried to turn off my microphone.
I'm censoring you. Wow. You're not right. You don't get to brag.
Cancel culture George in the other room.
Yes, all right.
I could have sworn
right.
Someone said.
What did you say?
Don't be shocked if Shohei Ohtani's out in the first round. It could have been someone on this show. And then I think on the very same show.
What else did you say?
Someone may have said this guy was going to be your winner.
Is he going to hit the scoreboard? He's one away from tying. He just won it. Pete Alonso, home run derby champ again. And he had 31 seconds left on the clock. That was a pretty spectacular performance, I got to tell you.
I would just like to thank everybody for me being correct. I just want everybody to know, like, it was me that he's talking about, and I appreciate your support, Jay. Thank you. Carry on.
Now back to the real story, which is me. Remember, best part of broadcasting is when you can take something like the Home Run Derby, make it about yourself.
Yes.
That's what I'm about to do.
Yes.
The reason I was hired at KHTK a few years ago was because of my Home Run Derby expertise. That is kind of my thing.
They call you Jay Home Run Derby Mars.
That's right. Jay Derby. Jay Derby for short, because Jay Derby Home Run Mars is just way too much for people to say.
Jay Derby Home Run Mars. I like that one better.
Way too much to say.
I like that one better.
But yeah, I was like, you know, Pete Alonso won this in 2019 and was really good at doing it. Why is nobody talking about him for 2021? And there he was, just out there, so casual. I love when he takes the time out in the semifinals and he's telling the crowd, like, bring it, let's go. I'm like, this is what baseball needs more of. It needs more showmanship.
He's an entertainer.
It needs more guys like Pete Alonso. It needs more guys like Shohei Ohtani being, you know, just out there. To your point, Fernando Tatis Jr. is such a showman. Like, it drives me crazy. Like, I wish sometimes baseball would hire me as, like, some sort of consultant to tell them what to do.
But it's also fan bases, too. Like, old-fashioned fans don't want that kind of... They don't want that kind of...
You're talking about the, play the game the right way.
Yeah, like, don't one-up the pitcher. Why not? You just hit 460 feet off of the dude. Hell yeah, you can one him up.
Yeah, and you know what? If he strikes you out on a fastball at 100 miles per hour, he can one-up you, too.
Absolutely. He should be fist-pumping and celebrating that he struck you out in a major moment in any game, like at the MLB level. So, yeah, that whole thing is stupid. But I like how the Home Run Derby, it's acceptable for one night as if it shouldn't be acceptable all the time. The one disappointment that I do have, Pete, how did you not bat flip after you hit the walk-off?
That's a good call.
You didn't bat flip.
Solid, take,
he celebrated. He pumped his fist, which was cool. But no bat flip? Even like the round one battle between Soto and Shohei Ohtani, which, by the way, that three pitches format, sudden death at the end,
it's fun. It's great.
The intensity. It's a shame that Shohei's first one he didn't get out, because I would have liked more drama there. But there was a moment there where, and I don't know his name, but the guy throwing to Soto threw behind him.
Yes.
Did you know? There could have been, I was wishing in that moment that Soto would like charge the mound just as a moment.
You know, we don't talk about that enough. Like, the idea of, yeah, the hitter's under extreme pressure, but what about the guy pitching to him in the sudden death? Like, dude, he has three swings, essentially. You got to put the ball right where he needs it.
Yep.
And that's, is there more pressure on the pitcher there to get the ball where he needs it or on the hitter to hit it out?
I still think it's the hitter, because you just have to lob softballs. But that being said, if your arm's shaky, or you choke in the moment,
yeah. Think about it. You're lobbing softballs. Let's just say that's you pitching to Olsen. You're in sudden death. You're not feeling a little bit of pressure?
Oh, I absolutely am. I absolutely am. 100%. I'm not saying there's no pressure at all.
You know, I love seeing Ken Griffey Jr. out there last night. I love the double bat trophy. You know, he presented it to Alonso. You know what I can't stand, though, is the freaking chain. It's so corny.
Oh, yeah.
The chain is so corny, and it's like, this is baseball trying to be cool. Baseball, it's like, imagine the 65-year-old guy putting on a chain like that. Like, that's what it looked like, because baseball is so antiquated in so many different ways. And it was like, oh, we need something to be cool. Hey, I know a big-ass Flavor Flav chain.
Also, Jay, we have
not
to
cool.
Really quickly, we have to mention the night Mancini had too, because he was fantastic. You talked about him as well yesterday, mm-hmm. about how he could really make a name for himself. He really stole the show in a lot of ways. And I thought it was awesome that he went out and got his old pitching coach from Notre Dame.
Isn't that great?
And they were telling the story during his first round against Olsen, how when he called his pitching coach picked up thinking, oh God, this is going to be something about his cancer. Oh no, I'm mm-hmm. nervous about this. And then you get asked, like, after years of not pitching to him, you get asked to pitch to him at the All-Star game or yep. at the Home Run Derby. I think, like,
and you get to the finals.
What that means as a coach, I can't even imagine what that means as a coach. Like, yeah, to see a badass player be that successful, overcome what Mancini's overcome, and then ask you to be a part of his moment, that's so cool.
It is.
That's so cool.
It was just amazing storytelling all night. I mean, we rag on baseball all the time for their lack of storytelling, but Matt, dare I say, that was a win for baseball last night.
It was a win for baseball, and everything about it was entertaining, it was fun, and it was because baseball, I felt, really leaned into what they are last night. They mm-hmm. allowed the show to do the talking, and yes. And I'm not talking Shohei Ohtani, I'm talking the show in general.
Oh, that show did itself too.
They allowed the show to do their thing. They put Ken Griffey Jr. in front of us. They put all these players on the sidelines, I guess, or in the dugouts to interact with each other, and they got the hell out of the way. And that is perfect for the sport.
We will take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next,
we got a garden of sound for you, and boy, do we have some fun ones. Dustin Poirier has thoughts on what really happened to Conor McGregor. LeBron James lets us know how long he plans to be a Laker, and Greg Popovich, it's a little testy in a news conference yesterday. We'll do it all next.